Biz de bırakacağız tabii.
On Twitter about
I'll see if I can go on Facebook a bit. Hello everybody, how are you guys doing? Hey. Son of a bitch. This thing's not going. I just have reached this morning. Hello everybody, how are you guys doing? I hope I can reach my guest though. Yeah. Phone is not good. Chat's not good. Ah, somebody has already started asking questions. Can you say married, divorced man? Wait first now. Let's discuss the matter now. Let's discuss. You guys should hold on. I'm even trying to reach my guest too. I forgot to reach out to him earlier today to make sure he remembers. So, if he's not around, we'll just do another thing pending when we can reach him. Oh, he's here, thank God. I was saying I didn't chat with him. I don't know that he's ready, but he's here. Okay, so welcome everybody. Welcome. I'm glad that my guest is here. How are you guys doing? Hope you went to church today. I trust everybody's well. I'm going to bring up the guest so that we'll just do it short and sharp today, Sunday. Thank God tomorrow is public holiday, so we can place more. Will the video be saved? Yes, most likely to be saved. Alright, so let me bring on. Servant. Oh, there's no drum. I decree there will be no drum. I've accepted your request, so hope it's not this one that always does drama. We should send them back. So, hello people. So today we're discussing, is divorce a sin?
No, it's not on YouTube.
It's on Instagram. I told you it would have sent. Did you send invite?
Yeah, you showed that. Okay,
yeah. Thank God.
Hello.
How you doing?
Ah, my brother. It is well. it's like this is the sixth service today.
Really? Wow, I know. It was after I preached three services that I said, this thing will fix on Sunday, so hopefully we'll get power.
It is well, because program tomorrow too is just loaded every day.
Yeah. So,
I'm my sister now.
She's fine. She's doing well. You're in town, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, town, I have meetings, then I'm going to Abuja, then from Abuja for the Lord, then from Abuja to London. I go to my own before now come, so.
Yeah. It is well. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, we have in the house Pastor Olumide Emmanuel. Pastor, why haven't you even taken bishop title? You did run from the title. You don't reach bishop.
Title without entitlement. When Baba Dibu becomes a bishop, I will follow.
Because you don't reach out to take that bishop. So, for
I'm not in the title generation. So.
All right, so I know most of you already know Pastor Lovely Emmanuel. But for those that don't know, he has been in ministry for many years. He has also been one of the forerunners in the family life ministry. And is versatile. He's one of the most versatile people I know. And we always say this whenever we come to this church, we say this, and I'll still say this here. I still feel he's one of the people that we've not really, really appreciated as much as we should in the body because of what he carries, what he brings, you know. Unfortunately, you know, it seems Africans like we generally value emotion than wisdom, you know. Yeah. If we don't shake or sweat, you know, people that are bringing practical wisdom every day, we kind of don't give them their honor, their flowers. We don't give them the kind of regard and respect that they deserve. But Bishop, thank you for your consistency over the years. Thank you for your impact over the years. And like I say, even though a lot of people might not make the noise, but when I see something that is good, when I see something that is real, when I see something that has been consistent over the years, you know, I'm bold enough to acknowledge it and to say it. So on behalf of the body of Christ, you know, I'm saying well done. We appreciate the gift and the grace, you know, and the wisdom that you bring to the body, you know, and I believe more and more people with time, we're going to value wisdom over just emotion. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you for squeezing our time. You know, Sunday is tight for pastors generally, you know.
It's you now. Anything for you, my brother.
Thank you. I just felt there's nobody that can do justice to this matter, you know. I've shot a video, a YouTube video on it. You know, yes, some people were able to learn. Of course, normally some people will argue a lot, you know. Normal, that one is normal. But I also wanted somebody else to lend their voice, you know, on the topic because it's becoming more important to address more people. You know, in the days people like you were doing this thing, divorce is hardly, there was no big market in terms of addressing issue of divorce. It was few and far between. It was secrets and in the corner issues. But today we can't run away from the reality of ground. It's due for, you know, people ask me this. I travel around the world and people want to be addressed. People say, okay, I'm divorced. So what's next for me? You know, is there hope for me? Is divorce a sin? You know, things like that. Will I go to hell? You know, all those things. Yes, it's a big issue. And even Papa Hagin those days to try to address it because it was a paramount issue. Even though he was a thorough word of faith teacher, but he had to come into marriage and remarried because of how rampant it was, you know, at that time too. So it's a very important issue. I have shot a YouTube video on it. But I felt it's still necessary to bring other heavy voices, other weightier voices to also throw their weight behind it because, I know what we will share will be a bit different from what has been culturally and religiously shared over the years. Even what maybe we even believed, you know, in the earlier years. That's what we're all taught. But as we began to study the scriptures and see things for ourselves, we kind of find out that, you know, maybe there needs to be some tweaking to that revelation. But let me not preempt you and let me not jump into it. I'll give you time and we'll discuss it. Even though for those that are watching, we have already agreed we'll still shoot a YouTube video about it because YouTube probably lasts longer. More people will view on that one. But I just felt it's still good for us to just start the chat. So before we start, for those watching anywhere in the world, we are going to be on tour this month of October. We've entered October finally. We're going to be on tour this month of October in the UK. So please, we're going to be in London, in Birmingham, in Manchester, in Scotland, and in Ireland. I'll repeat, London, Birmingham, Manchester, Scotland, and Ireland. So if you are in any of these cities or you have friends and family in these cities, please let them know. Let them come out for, you know, the tour. Tickets are available. I'll pin where they can get the tickets in a bit, you know, so that they can get tickets and be a blessing. Now, if you're in the United States, especially California Axis, we're having our last event for the United States tour in LA, November 11th. LA, November 11th. Tickets for that is available. We had to shift it because of the storm. They had a storm warning and all that at the time. So we shifted that particular event. So it's going to be May 11th. All right. So for those asking where in Scotland, it's in Dundee. That's the most central city in Scotland. So people are going to come from all the other cities to Dundee. So don't wait for me to come to your street. As long as you're in Scotland, just make your way to Dundee. It's going to be 1 hour or thereabout from you, 1 hour, 30 minutes max from wherever you are. So let's come and let's take it. All right. Let's take it there. All right. You know, so that's how it goes. All right, I want to pin where the tickets can be gotten so that people can get tickets for this event, and it'll be a blessing. All right, so we'll probably, if we remove the comments, that means the pin, where we'll pin to, we'll leave, Abby. We'll leave it for now. Let's see if people can listen, we'll cope. And please take notes. If you are into the family life ministry, maybe you have passion for family life or things like that, you want to be a relationship coach, relationship counselor, or you're already one, we have Family Life Practitioners Conference also in October. The good thing about that one is holding in Lagos, Abuja, and in London. So for people that feel this is an industry they want to participate in, you know, and all that, so please take advantage of that also. Some great teachers and coaches will be coming. I have my friend from the United States, Hassani Pettiford. He's going to be there. Pastor Bisi Adewale is going to be there. He's one of the veterans in this field. Ocholi Okutupa is going to be there. Relationships, I've got the relationship marriage or something. Marriage. Okay. Then a few other people like that will be in the house. So please take advantage and all that. All right. And for those in Abuja, we're also coming to you. For those in Abuja, we're also coming to you. We have a relationship conference in Abuja in same October. And we also have family life in Abuja. So take advantage. The Abuja event is free for the relationship seminar. So take advantage. Whether you're married or single, take advantage of it. All right. What else do I need to say? Okay. So I think that's pretty much it. So that we can allow Bishop to talk today. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, Bishop, the question is, is divorce a sin? That's the question, Bishop.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. Because of the religious problem of our days, I actually also did a series on this last year. So I did a three-part series on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You know that it's only Kenneth Hagin and Miles Monroe that have written books, you know, that are probably in the mainstream, that's mainstream Christianity, that have written books. So I just felt that with what was happening, I also needed to do that. So last year I did marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And when I began to reveal some things to people, I actually had some of my pastors and some Word of Faith people that came to me to say, wow, we didn't know this. Because one of the things I did was not because I wanted to talk about people's life, but just to help people understand, was to bring out some things that people did not know, because a lot of people are just coming into the body. So I made them to realize that people like Kenneth Copeland, that people are saying Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Gloria Copeland is Kenneth Copeland's third wife, not even first wife, not even second wife. So Kenneth Copeland divorced first wife, divorced second one before marrying Gloria. And now he's been married to Gloria, and they've been married for over 63 years. So if divorce is a sin, so that means Kenneth Copeland has been sinning, Gloria Copeland has been sinning. We have Joyce Meyer. Our first marriage was for 5 years. And then later on, she married Dave, that we all know now. And they've also been married for, you know, lots of decades now. John Agee, on and on and on. So I want everybody to understand that we are not here to push divorce. We are not here to say that, oh, go and divorce, because God instituted the marriage. The marriage institution is sacred. God's plan, God's desire is for us to be able to find love and to marry someone and be together forever. That is the plan of God. That is the desire of God. And one of the things that religion has done is that religion has not allowed balance to be, you know, put to most of these things. So people will just go to Malachi and say Malachi, the Bible says God hates divorce. And they just pick that out of context and they're wrong with that. So if God hates divorce, did he say he hates the divorcee? God hates divorce did not mean that he said, he didn't say it's a sin. He said, I hate it. And he didn't say he hated the divorcee, because if we look at it literally, God himself is a divorcee. So is God a sinner? Because when you study the Bible, you see that God metaphorically on more than three occasions say, I've divorced Israel. And every time Israel will sin, every time Israel will go, God will say, if you look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1 and 2, God said, I've divorced Israel, the way they are living. Go and ask for the bill of divorcement. In Jeremiah chapter 3, from verse 6 to 10, he said, I've divorced Israel. She was warring herself, promiscuous. I tried to bring her home. I told her to come home. She didn't come. She kept doing anything. And I just say, I'm divorcing you and I'm giving you a bill of divorcement. So if we follow God using his own mouth to say he has divorced Israel, not once, not twice, like three or four times, that means God himself is a divorcee. So is God a sinner? So divorce is not a sin, even though it's not the desire of God to see us have that experience. When it happens, it happens. So when it comes to the issue of divorce, clearly it is not a sin.
Hold on, Bishop. Hold on, give me a minute. Please, for those asking about questions, there's a question icon. If you type your question in the comments, it means it will scroll past, we will not see it. So if you have questions, just put in the question icon. When we are done, Bishop will address some of the questions we can address. So use the question icon, guys. Very important. Bishop, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
So when it comes to... So divorce is not a sin. It's not the ideal. It's not the heart of God, the desire of God. But once it happens, it has happened. It doesn't mean you have sinned. God hates divorce. He does not hate the divorcee. And if we follow what I've just said, we can now say, and we can infer that God himself is a divorcee. Because he said with his own mouth, in the same Bible, they are divorces. Just when it comes to the issue of divorce, there are actually three classes of people when it comes to this issue of divorce. And you need to look at it holistically to say, okay, where should we stay as Christians? So number one, we have the first group of people when it comes to divorce are the zero tolerance people. They have zero tolerance for divorce. They don't even want to hear it. Even if the man is beating you, stay there. Even if the man is committing adultery, stay there. They don't even support Jesus. When Jesus Christ said, except for adultery, he said, no, that's not Jesus. Even if the man is sleeping around, your husband has slept with your sister, slept with house girl, bringing strange women to your bed, you still stay there. Stay there. They have zero tolerance. And, you know, I've been around for a while. As a matter of fact, this month is 34 years in ministry. Next year, I'll be celebrating 35 years in ministry. So I've been around for a while, and what I've seen is that there is so much hypocrisy in the church. I know of pastors, major men of God that are talking. Many of them, they are with their second wife. Many of them, they have one wife in Nigeria and another one in America. And they are here with hypocrisy. Many of them, they have gone to carry their own daughter out of the husband's house because their own. So when it comes to their blood, they will change message, which is the hypocrisy of the church. And it's this hypocrisy that makes people to think that we are all fraud and we are all charlatans. So number one is this group of zero tolerance. No matter what, just die there till death do us apart. The second group are the people that I call the biblical verse group. They want to see it in the Bible. For them to follow it, they must see it inside Bible. I must see where is it quoted, what verse. So for this group of people, there are only two scriptures that they have accepted as the only two reasons why somebody can explore divorce. The first scripture is Matthew chapter 5, I believe, where Matthew 5, I think somewhere around 30 or so, Matthew 5, where mm-hmm. Jesus Christ said that, except for adultery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, except for adultery. So that was like a window open to say, okay, well, what God has done together, let no man put us under. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, you know, told the people to divorce. But now I'm saying you, in the beginning, it was not so. That so nobody should divorce except for adultery. But even for that adultery, you can forgive and move on with life. If no, people can fall, mm-hmm. people can get into things. If it's not a lifestyle, mm-hmm. if it's something that happens, the person was set up and in the days of whatever. So, but that's one rule. So this second set of people, they say, okay, once there is adultery, you are free to go. Then the second one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he said that, I think it was around verse 15, where he said that if an unbelieving partner departs, you that you are free, you that are there, you are free. But see, the problem again with this second group of people is that when somebody now commits adultery and goes, they now want to still tie the first person down. Mm. Say, no, you cannot remarry again. Yeah. That the person has committed, but you see, you have to stay single forever. Yeah. So they still bring in another religious bondage to keep people in bondage. And like I've said, it is only when it is outsiders that they hold this stand. When it comes to their own family, they change the rule, which is part of the hypocrisy that was. But the third set of people are people that come to a place of understanding that God is a good God. And even though there may be things that are not expressly stated in scripture, you may not be able to see a verse that says cream your body, a verse that says you must bath every day, you must brush your teeth. There's no verse for brushing teeth, creaming your body. So use perfume, use roll-on. There's no verse. Drive a car, go to the bus stop, look left, look right before you cross the road. There are no verses for many things that we do. So the third set of people are people that believe that we should look at life not only based on the scripture that we have in the Bible, but also based on the nature and the character of God. So you look at life not just by what is written, because Jesus is the word of God. The spirit of God that wrote the word is inside us. So you hear Apostle Paul saying that as one that has obtained maturity, I can say the Holy Spirit didn't give me a word on it, but me as a man that has walked with God, I am saying this. So there are people that have walked with God that know by virtue of experience, those who have their senses exercised by reason of use and experience to say that, okay, according to the nature of God, according to the character of God, the nature and the character of God does not support this or support that. I remember many, many years ago, I was still a single man when I conducted the first wedding I was not even married myself. I was single as a pastor. When I conducted the first wedding for a divorcee and one single man. The lady was divorced. She had two kids and the boy was a single man. And they wanted to get married. And how did the lady come to church? She came to church because the husband beat her. She was naked, it's here in cloth for road. And that was happening in front of our church. So I was in the office there as a single man, and I saw crowd making noise. So we came out only to see a naked woman. People were trying to cover her. The man beat her. So we had to, you know, women had to cover her. They brought her into the church, and that's how she came. What happened with my husband? And so from there, of course, the marriage was over. She became a member of the church. And I saw, the first time I saw her, she was being beaten. She was naked in front of our church. So she was brought into the church. They took care of her. And then that's how she became a member. Of course, the man left her with two children and never showed up again. And about 4 or 5 years later, one of the brothers in church wanted to marry her. And as a single pastor, based on all the things they have taught us, now I'm a pastor. This is my church. I'm the overseer now. I need to now make this year for my own work and my own ministry. And what I did was to go and pray. And one of the things I came to realize is that God's judgment is redemptive in nature. God does not judge to kill. When he sent them out of the Garden of Eden, it's not to destroy them. He sent them out so that he can redeem them. Because if they have remained there, they will probably have gone to eat the tree of life and become irredeemable. And I had a clear direction that this woman is in an abusive relationship. And you were there, you saw she has gone through. So should she now remain like that? And this guy knows she's a divorcee. This guy knows she has two kids. And the guy is ready. And I married them. Of course, people were like, what kind of church is this? This was around 1997 or 98 or thereabouts. In the 90s, I never married that time. So it was in the mid-90s only. So then they got married and they are still married till today. Over almost 26 years later, they are still married and they are good. And then I now realized that we needed to also set up something. So when we set up the marriage committee in church, we have what we call correction marriage in our church. Correction marriage. Because when we're growing up, when people fornicate and they are pregnant out of wedlock, they will not wed them. You know the back of the chair in assemblies, you have back chair, all kinds of punishment that they were giving people. You see, you cannot legislate morality. It's only the Spirit of God that can change people. All these laws and things, it just messes up things. So we set up what we call correction marriage. So in our church now, we have correction marriage, and that has existed for 27 years. So correction marriage is for, number one, if you got married as unbelievers, and now you are born again, and you now want to do it right under God, even with your 3 children, 5 children, we'll marry them. It's correction marriage to come and correct it and do it right now that you are in Christ. If you married as a Muslim under the Nikah wedding, and you now say, now that I'm born again, I want to do, we wed you. There are people that were just cohabiting. Get Bele, the guys, so you are packing to my house, and they just started living together. Once they have never married, never done anything, even daddy, no pay. And then they now want to do it right. We bring them there. If there are single people that are engaged and they fornicate and the girl is pregnant, instead of them going to do abortion, and then it will now create double problem. And we wed them, but it is correction marriage. Because when I was growing up, even before I became an overseer, on my street where I was living with my parents, there was a church where the evangelist of the church, that was the assistant pastor, impregnated his fiancée. And they went to do abortion. That was in 1991. As I'm talking to you now, they still don't have a child. That abortion of 1991 destroyed the girl's womb. And by religion, they don't believe in adoption. They don't believe in surrogacy. They don't believe in IVF. They are still alive. If I see saw the man this December, they have been married for almost 30 years now, no child, and they are just there because of what. So we do marriage. So even if people are born again and they are engaged and they fornicate and the girl is pregnant, we do the wedding. It's called correction marriage. The only difference is the wedding will be done on Sunday morning. It's not a ceremony. We'll do it on Sunday morning. No reception, no. And then we explain to the church. So if you are not ready for us to explain to the church, then you find your level. So we come to, and we have done many of that in the last 27 years. So say we have correction marriage. So we come to say, see, two of them, they are engaged. They fornicated, which is not right, but she's pregnant. But they are children of God. What they did is wrong, but the baby is not wrong. So in order not to allow abortion, so Sunday morning we do it, and we have done that. And that is the nature of God. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. So many times, we want mercy when we are the one that needs mercy. We want grace to be extended to us when we are the one that need it. But when it is other people, we become judgmental and we become overly, unbalanced. So those are the three set of people. Then, in wrapping up so that we can now go to that question is, what do I consider to be the basis upon which somebody can say, I want to divorce? Because you remember that what Jesus was addressing was that in the days of Moses, they made marriage so flimsy that they were divorcing for anything. Husband will come back and say, hey, woman, bring my food. You bring the food. He say, Kai, this salt is too much. I'm not marrying you again. So over food, taste of food, I don't like the way you spoke to me, all those things, and the divorce. So when someone is saying I'm divorcing, we need to balance it, because this generation is now worse than the generation of Moses. Because in this generation now, a lot of people don't have any form of tolerance. They are so immature And my mental health, everything, they don't work out. And I'm out of here. I can't take this. And you're like, Mr. Man, what's your problem? Boy, relax. That's why the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Marriage is for a man and a woman, not for a boy and a girl. So today we have a lot of boys and girls getting married that don't even understand what marriage is all about. Dysfunctional man marrying a dysfunctional woman, starting a dysfunctional marriage, raising dysfunctional children. So many of the reasons for marriage today is not tenable. And they have come up with one funny, you know, slogan, irreconcilable difference. There are no irreconcilable difference in this world. There's nothing like that. It's irreconcilable people that we are. There is no irreconcilable difference. We only have irreconcilable people. There is no problem we cannot solve, except a problem we cannot discuss. As long as we are ready to communicate, we can solve it. So for me, these are the things that I believe can cause or lead to divorce, and it will be okay. Number one, adultery. Adultery. If there is adultery in a relationship, depending on the circumstances of the adultery, I will ask that you forgive the person. If it is a, you know, set up, there are many circumstances, because I have been involved in a lot of recovery. I have people that are still married today, where there was a time the wife stepped out, they are still married, the husband stepped out. So I have husband that have stepped out, wives that have stepped out, because people also get into this deception that they think that all these men has come, and men cheat. And I begin to ask myself, are you people all right? You think that men cheat more than women, then you are deceiving yourself. Because if the men are cheating more than women, who are they cheating with?
They're not sleeping with women.
They are sleeping with other women. And so if men are sleeping with women, I say men has come, not the woman that they sleep with. Worst case scenario, it will be 50-50. But what people don't realize is that women actually are more dangerous when it comes to the cheating. A lot of women cheat more. Because pastor, lawyer, and doctor, waiting we know. Now only few people know them. I know people that women that have done things that you will never believe, that you're like, what? But it's also adultery. But for even adultery, forgive. If it's something that just happened once, if it's not a lifestyle, if the person is remorseful and they have asked for forgiveness, it will take time. You go through the process of healing and recovery, do the counseling, do the therapy that is required. But if it is a lifestyle, or you say, I cannot cope, I can't handle it, because you cannot say, okay, someone has committed adultery, they have remorseful, they have asked for forgiveness. Of course, they cannot tell you when to forgive them. They cannot determine how early you should be healed. But at the same time, they cannot be in the prison of their past because you refuse to be healed. So you now see people that you now want to hold that adultery over the head of the man, over the head of the woman, and then the marriage end up becoming a prison. So that is one. So that's number one, adultery. Number two is abandonment. Abandonment. When you look into the Bible, you find out that the Bible says, "Devil shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." When you study scriptures, there are a lot of scriptures. I don't want to go into Bible study, but there are a lot of scriptures where the Bible expects, because the Bible even says, I think, I didn't prepare to do a lot of scripture stuff, but there is a portion of the scripture where it was talking about the fact that if the man or the woman is not around to be able to do their job, I think Deuteronomy 21 or the other, but if the person travel or go to war and they are not doing what they are supposed to do. So, abandonment. You are in a relationship and you have been abandoned in that relationship. Do you know that, in fact, I said it 2 Sundays ago, I think either last or 2 Sundays ago, that they should remind me, we need to now declare a state of emergency for sexless marriages. Because a lot of couples are not having sex with my brother. I don't know whether you have noticed.
Yes.
You will see people that say, the last time we have said 3 months ago, 2 months ago, I say, are you guys all right? You are in the same house. Because when people come to me and they are married, one of the things that will show whether the marriage is still on is, when last did you people have sex? When I ask them, when last did you have sex, and they can't even remember, it means that there are deeper issues. Because you see, many people used to think, our parents, they stood with each other. Our mother stayed with our father. They were married for 50 years. What they did not know, that many of our parents didn't have sex for 9 years, 10 years, 15 years. They were there, but they have left the marriage. They have left emotionally. They have left sexually. They were only there because the women were not economically empowered to take a walk and relocate. So they had to sit down there because of children. But there was no sex. That's why we had daddy's room and mommy's room. Those daddy's room and mommy's room concepts came as a result of many marriages that were dead but still being kept by issue of the same house. So abandonment. So all this jackpot thing, even in the law of Nigeria, when you are married and you abandon your matrimonial bed, there's a 1 year law, there's a 2 year law. It's even a ground for divorce, even in the law of Nigeria. So all this, they won't touch you. I'm not, I have a dick. My leg is paining me. You are using sex as a weapon. When you abandon your spouse, either physical abandonment like relocation without returning, or you abandon the matrimonial bed. You are tired in January, tired in February, a whole year, only 5 times in a year. It's abandonment. You're already, because I keep wondering. That's why the Bible says it is a fraud. Defraud not one another. So with those steps from your partner is a fraud. You are defrauding the person because in marriage, there is nothing you are doing for your spouse that somebody else cannot do. You cook for your husband. Somebody else can cook for him. It's not a crime. You wash clothes. Whatever you think you are doing, there's nothing you are doing for your husband or wife that somebody else cannot do. The only thing you are doing that somebody else cannot do without it being a sin is sex. So when you now withhold that one, you are actually an enemy of that marriage because you are the man has no substitute for what you are offering. You are now pushing him to sin or you are pushing him to something else. And then I keep wondering, you are married to a man for 15 years. Only you, the man has stayed with you and is still asking for you, still desiring you, and you see they do shakara after 15 years, 18 years. Are you not supposed to be happy that this man still loves me and me alone? So many times we just hurt each other unnecessarily. So that's number two, is abandonment. Number three is abuse. Abuse. Another thing that can lead, and for abuse, I will give it a two-stage process. So it can be sexual abuse. It can be verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse. There are 7 levels of abuse. So whatever the abuse is, because everybody deserves to be happy. And when you find yourself in a toxic environment that is toxic to your spirit, detrimental to your soul, detrimental to your mental, detrimental to your life, then it's time to have a routine. Because there are what we call the interplay of laws. There's the law of life. There's the law of redemption. There's the law of marriage. Now, the law of redemption is superior to the law of marriage. The law of life is also superior to the law of marriage. So, if I'm married now, marriage is a covenant. But if I get born again and I have an encounter with God, that relationship with God, the law of redemption, is superior to that law of marriage. So if that marriage is now saying you cannot serve God, you have to come back. We are Muslims. You cannot be a Christian or we are Christian. I cannot allow you to go and serve God. Then I have to choose God because redemption is superior to marriage. If you are in a relationship and that relationship is about to destroy your life, they beat you every day. Today, they don't hook your kidney. You have been kicking. I dealt with a case here in Maryland, Lagos. The man, girl was a beauty queen in Canada. Came the guy, medical doctor, have his own medical practice, and told this girl that, okay, when we marry, you, the girl was a virgin, when we marry, we're going to have 2 children. And the guy was a medical doctor. They had 2 kids. Then the girl had the third pregnancy. And the guy provoked. Say, you have to go and do abortion. Say, I bought what? It's not possible. I'm a Christian. I married you as a Christian. I married you as a virgin. Wait till I know you for unbeliever. I go and enter marry, begin to do abortion. The guy pressurized the girl. It was a battle. The girl, inside marriage, had to do abortion of the third child. Christian marriage. After doing that abortion, are they not supposed to do family planning to stop the thing? Another pregnancy enter. Again, he said, make you go to the girl. He said, never, I will never do it. It's not going to happen. Do you know that this guy performed D and C on his own wife on their matrimonial bed in this Lagos here? The guy, guy did D and C inside the bedroom. The girl woke up shocked at what he beat and kick him. And you expect people to stay in that kind of marriage? So which was, it was, that is even a criminal thing to do. So where there is abuse, I tell people, first step is not divorce, it's separation. Take yourself away from the abuser. Take yourself away from the toxic environment to go and seek help and seek intervention from professionals, from spiritual authority, from mature family member. If they are able to settle it, then you return. And I have testimonies of many marriages like that where they have gone to human rights, they have gone to this girl, we have settled, and they are back together and all things have passed away. Because sometimes it can be a function of the fact that even the man that is abusing you himself needs deliverance. A lot of these guys are not mentally okay because many people don't. As he spoke about it in my series this year on the new rules of love, a lot of Christians have mental health issues. Many people are not normal. And most of the time when they come to church, all we say, go and pray, fast, I bind that devil. It's not devil. These people have psychosomatic disorder. They need no therapy. They need to see professionals. So that's abuse, number three. Number four is where I now spoke about the character and the nature of God. It's what we call exceptional situations. And for that one, we have to look at each case by case.
On individual basis.
Based on the nature of God, based on the character of God, and based on what we know to be the way God will operate. If Jesus was alive today, and they are writing Bible today, what will Jesus do? How will he do it? We cannot look at his nature, look at his character, to now decide that in the 21st century. Now, and that's what happened. I had one of my a friend, a pastor in a major denomination in this country, got married and was coming back to Nigeria. And the wife said, I'm not returning. I'm not going to Nigeria again. I'm okay with London. Go back. So how can you see that we came here, we are finished, we are going to say, the woman refused to go. The guy came back, continued his pastoring. And after a while, the girl moved on, got married. And the guy is still a pastor in the major denomination, one of their senior pastors here. The general overseer is aware. He knows all the story. And the guy said he wants to remarry. He said, no problem. Go ahead and remarry. The guy wants to remarry. And the general overseer was supposed to go and do the wedding. He was the one that gave them dates. And then when the other leaders of the ministry said, Baba, you cannot go and do that. Oh, how can you go and do that? So the man didn't go. The guy went ahead and married. He now became a problem. How can he still be a pastor? And the guy refused to leave the church. They brought another pastor to take over. The guy will resume in church. He will sit down in the back. It became a problem. The guy had to leave the man and start. So we have all kinds of cases. So that people have done all kinds of things. You have people that you got married to someone. You were both Christians. And then because he was hot, he entered into occultism. We have a lot of pastors now that are married, yet they are also homosexuals. So they have one wife at home with children. But in order to get power for their prophetic and miracle ministry, they have a homosexual partner. And you expect the woman to sit down there. I've dealt with a pastor's wife that the man is saying that they should do from front and back. And then the pastor is asking for threesome. Now the guy has become, is he transgender? We have dealt with all kinds of cases all over the world. And exceptional cases like that, you now expect the woman to sit down there. Why? Because she's a Christian. If it's your sister, if it's your daughter, do you think that God wants people to be in a toxic environment? So we should look at the nature of God and the character. So those are the exceptional cases that we look at based on marriage. So I think, I don't talk rich.
Wow. This is amazing. People from Facebook are just joining us. Facebook, I hope you can listen here. Pastor Lumide Emmanuel, we're talking about, is divorce a sin? Is divorce a sin? That's what we're talking about. So even though you're just going to be seeing only my face, but you can hear the voice of Pastor Lumide Emmanuel. This is amazing. This is amazing, amazing thing. Please, let me remind everybody, don't forget, if you are anywhere in the UK, we're on tour in the UK this October, London, Manchester, Birmingham, Scotland, Ireland. So please go to my page and get the tickets for any of these places. London, Manchester, Birmingham, Scotland, and Ireland. All right? If you are in the United States, I'll be in LA, California, Los Angeles, California, November 11th. All right? To complete our US tour. So please take advantage of all that. Get the tickets to be a blessing to you. All right. Bishop, I don't even know where to start. But I particularly, I like, interestingly, in my video, too, those are the three things I highlighted. Adultery, abuse and abandonment, and they're all founded in scripture. They're all founded in scripture. But I think we need to first address people that have a judgmental and a religious mindset. I think that's where the problem starts.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we will address. Then the second thing we will address is that this kind of discussion we are having, is it not going to push people or make people go and leave their marriage? Because when I posted this, I saw some people that were, maybe they're already thinking of leaving their marriage. And maybe their own is a flimsy excuse. So please let me take note of those two things. Their own is a flimsy excuse. You know, we are not getting along because of the differences. So none of these three major things we mentioned are there, but they are not mature. Both of them are not ready to mature, to treat each other well. So now one of them, usually is men, usually, even though it happens both sides, but one of them is thinking or talking of divorce. So this kind of thing we are doing now, telling people that there are cases where divorce can happen, that divorce is not a sin, you know, won't it, you know, encourage those people? So those are the two things I want you to help me look at, you know, and address.
Okay. So when it comes to the issue of being judgmental, you see, culture plays a lot of role in religion. And I've always said it over and over again that religion is more dangerous than the devil.
Mm.
Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with your creator.
Mm.
But many of us in the body of Christ in this part of the world, in Africa especially, we have accepted religion, not God. So we have a relationship with church, but we don't have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with men of God, but we don't have a relationship with God. Because if you have truly encountered God for yourself,
yes,
the Spirit of
yes
God being inside you, then when you read the Bible, you will see the Bible in the light of Christ, not in the light
yes
of the religious interpretation of your bishop, your pastor, or your denomination.
Yes.
And so when it comes to this issue of being judgmental, it's because we are just religious people. And it's just hypocrisy. Because we judge other people by their action, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. So when people do this, say, why did they do that? But when they say, no, I plan to. You express mercy to yourself, but you are not ready to express mercy
because
to others. That was what...
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. That was what... Finish what you're saying, your sentence.
That was what Jesus was talking about when he said, take care of the log in your own eyes instead of the speck. But you see,
in another person,
when he was mentioning those things, he used two words. He says, why looketh thou at the speck in your brother's eye and perceiveth not the log in your own eyes? So to see what is happening in other people is by looking, but to see what is wrong in you is by perception.
Seriously?
Mm. So why didn't you perceive that you have log?
Yeah.
But the person yeah will get speck, you see speck, but you don't perceive your own log. You couldn't perceive that there is a log in your own eye. So religion is terrible, and that is what has caused trouble. So the interpretation of scripture, is it not in
yeah
the same country? Don't wear trousers, don't wear makeup, don't wear
yeah
this, don't wear that. A lot
yeah
of denominations were built on laws
yeah
and all
yeah
these things. And we have a lot of pastors' wives that when they didn't wear trousers, they didn't wear makeup, they didn't wear anything, and now they are wearing. And people say they are bad. So religion is just,
yeah,
when it comes to judgmental,
yeah,
people should just know that God is not a God of
yeah
the judgment of God itself is even redemptive in nature. God judges
nature
you to heal you. He judges you to restore you, not to destroy
yeah
you.
I think some of the things we need to establish as believers, anybody watching this, you must understand that we are all growing.
Yeah.
So because we grew from a conservative standpoint, so all of us had the, oh, don't wear trousers, don't cover your hair, and all these things. But as we began to grow, we began to say that those were not the real interpretations. Those, God can never be interested in such a thing. That doesn't affect your spirituality in any way.
Yeah.
You know, and for those that are here that are still holding fast to those things, you must know that even your fathers in the faith are growing. They are learning.
Yeah.
Many of them, you know, there are many popular churches, big churches in Nigeria that at some point they never wore trousers. They always wore hats, but now they've all opened denominations, branches and centers that are open to those things,
yeah,
you know. So they too have grown from their beliefs,
yeah,
you know, 20 or 30 years ago to their beliefs now. Yeah. Because as you look into the scripture more, you begin to find out, you know, that the Bible never said it that way. It's like the popular, oh, don't wear jewelry and all that, and they are quoting, oh, let the adorning not be the outer adorning. If you look at the scriptures, you find out they are not saying you can't wear jewelry. They're just saying compared to develop internal development, that's more important than outside. Yeah. They are not saying you should not make men. Yeah. So they are all growing. That's one. And number two point that I think is very important is that thing you mentioned, that the judgment of God is redemptive. If you look at everywhere God has dealt with cases, it's never the way Christians deal with cases. Like the woman caught in adultery, you know, if it's many Christians today, they will say she can never even be a Christian. She can never come to church again. She can never. But that's not what Jesus did at all. The first thing Jesus did was to sack everybody that is talking. Tell them, go and run your business. None of you are invited to this court. Yeah. Because if they bring any of you to this court, all of you are more guilty than the accused. So you can't be a guilty person and still be the judge in the same court. So he first drove everybody away. So whenever there's a case like this, really the first thing is that everybody go about your business. It's none of your nobody get, except people that have jurisdiction to attend to the case. Maybe the pastor, their wife, an elder, somebody that has jurisdiction on that case, but not for the masses. You know, again, there's a popular thing going on about Pastor Jimmy Odukoya, you know, that was just installed as the senior pastor of Fountain of Life, and he has dreads. And people have been shouting, and I'm wondering where, and I've asked many of them, give me chapter and verse of where they said, you know, this is the scriptural hairstyle for a pastor. One even wrote on my page yesterday that why will he have dreads? That the men of God there, why didn't they advise him? I said, Bishop Mike there had punk. His hairstyle is called punk. Is that the scriptural hairstyle? Papa Ayo also has a punk. Is that the scriptural what, give me Bible and verse where the Bible said the official haircut of a Christian and the official haircut of a pastor will be
Jerry. Stop them now. Jerry called pastors.
Yes. So there's no chapter and verse. So you know where we get this religious spirit from, I really don't know. In all fairness, it has always existed. That's always been there. You know, even from old times. So but I'm just surprised sometimes that we have young people that still don't understand that, you know, those things are not the basis of our Christianity. There's no biblical injunction on the kind of hairstyle you should have. It's not there. So you can't say, oh, that disqualifies this guy, or for him to be a general overseer, he has to go and cut his hair. You know, the Jesus we are following, he didn't have afro, he didn't have short hair like us, he had long hair, was a Nazarite, so his hair was going to be long.
Yeah.
So it's going to be almost like what we do, what looks like dread today. So, you know, what are we saying? People don't understand. People say, woman cannot wear trousers, woman cannot wear this. We look at the dressing of the Jews those days, it was not anything like what we are wearing. You know, so that judgmental part, I think, is just a big issue.
Yeah. And you see, a lot of people, like you said, they have evolved. And many of them, they have built their denominations on a lot of these things. And it's difficult for them to now go back now and begin to correct it. Look at what happened with Papa Kumoye when he came out to say, look, this, many people left the church.
Yeah.
Some people wrote to him that he has backslided. Now, why will you come about? That is a high level of maturity to come and say, we're wrong. We are guilty. We will know better now.
Yes.
Because, see, the message of God is the same, but the methodologies changes.
Yes.
So, like, we launched our online church today, the cyber expression of the church, the Kingdom Tribe. And I told them in the church, I said, for a church to grow old, a church will grow old naturally, but a church will grow young intentionally.
Mm.
When I started the ministry, I got born again as a teenager. I became a pastor. I was ordained at the age of 21. I've been in ministry since I was a teenager. This year, I'm 34 years in ministry. I said, but now, I'm in my 50s, and there are a lot of people in their 20s that are supposed to have started when I started. They are still there. We are not even giving them microphone. So we have different expressions that we have opened, and this one is online, because we have to use the timely technology to preach the timeless truth. So when it comes to this judgmental thing, you know that a church is like an assembly line. It's like a factory. Mm. And when there is a religious mold on the pulpit of that church, or a religious mold in the culture of that church, anybody born in the church, growing in the church, they will continue to bring them out of the assembly line of religious mindsets.
Yeah.
That's why it still continues. That's why young people are thinking like old people. You see a lot of people, you are like, you are 20. You are supposed to be Gen Z.
Okay,
whatever. So why are you thinking that it's the religious water they drank?
And because they're not reading Bible.
They don't read Bible. They don't even read any book. Some yes. We tell them, don't read any book. All those books are Kana. It's only Bible you should read. Even the Bible they are reading is only King James.
Yes.
So they don't even understand a lot of things. So God will help us. So that's that about the judgmental aspect. As regards to people that may think that this will be a license. Now you see, when the Apostle Paul was bringing the gospel of grace and helping people to understand the grace of God, that was part of the challenge. And he says, this thing will make people to sin. And he said, can we continue in sin that grace will abound? We cannot keep people in bondage of ignorance. True liberty is the freedom to do what is right, not the freedom to do whatever you like. The freedom in Christ is the freedom to do what is right, not the freedom to do whatever you like. So we cannot legislate morality or say because of the possibility of somebody using something as a license, you will now keep people from the truth. We have to let people know the truth and believe that the Spirit of God in them will guide them to do what is right. And like I said at the beginning, in this generation, we have a lot of all these flimsy people that are just, they have a promiscuous eye. They have a promiscuous tendency. They don't enjoy their wife for a few years. They look for another
love. Yes.
So they are looking for an escape route to go.
Yes.
And a lot of ladies too, they have entered marriage. They have expected that after 5 or 8 years, the guy will blow.
Yes.
They don't suffer. Yes. 11 years, the guy never blew. And after 2 children, they are still looking fresh. They are still having rich people.
Yes.
That are now toasting them, and they are like, oh, we can leave this guy, follow this other one. And we have seen all these things. So they are just looking for an escape. And sometimes when they are asking questions in church, it's not because they don't know the truth. It's because they are just looking for somebody to validate what they are already planning to do.
Yes.
And if you don't, and you know, the way people, a lot of people that don't know the workings of a mega church, they judge us. They say, you put other kinds of people in your church. Jesus Christ said, cast your net into the water. And they caught all manner of fishes.
Yes.
So church is filled with all manner of fishes. And like you always say, we are like doctors. These people, they are our patients. Some of them are responding to treatment.
Yes.
Some of them are not responding to treatment. Some of them are on intensive care units.
Yes.
Some of them are on coma. But they are all in the church there. So you cannot blame me for that. So because there are people that if you do not, you tell them the truth, the next day they have left the church, they have gone to another church. So we keep telling them the truth. We have lost a lot of people, but we have to keep telling them the truth.
Yes.
Because really, the truth is not a license for sin, but the truth is a liberty for you to do what is right.
Right. Okay. Okay. I will come to another question. Teddy is asking me that should the Jesus wear the Jesus plait his hair, or did he wear earring? So Teddy, my own question to you is that did Jesus drive a car and didn't use microphone? So that answer will also still answer your own question. All right, answer the two. And remember, for those just joining, please, we are touring this period: London, Manchester, Birmingham, and Scotland and Ireland. So if you're in the UK, Scotland or Ireland, join us. If you're in Abuja, we'll come to Abuja end of this month also. Please join us. Whatever single or married, and if you're interested in family life practice, you're either a counselor, a coach, or a therapist, or you desire to be one, you just have a burden, your friends always ask you for marriage advice, you know, things like that, you always see yourself helping people with marriage, it's important for you to be properly trained. So come up for our family life conference this month also, and that one is holding in Lagos, London, and Abuja. So please look into that. Good. Somebody has answered the person that this is just get married. Jesus is not married too. So if he did not plait, he did not marry. So why are we marrying? All right. You must know how to interpret scripture. All right. You must interpret scripture in the context. So people just run away. Like Pastor Lumide said, I think one of the people in Malin, God is redemptive. He's not looking for who to kill. He's not looking for who to punish. So the moment you are coming with that idea of God that he's trying to catch somebody doing wrong, you have missed the whole concept. You have missed the whole concept.
You know that was the problem with Jonah. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them that my judgment is coming. Jonah did not go. He went to Tarshish. And we know the story. But you see, when he now finally landed in Nineveh and he preached 3 days, the Bible says even animals fasted. Everybody was animal, went on fasting. They repented.
Yes.
And when they repented, Jonah said, you see, that is why I didn't want to go. I know
that you will forgive
when
them.
They just said they are sorry, you go forgive them.
You will just forgive
and
them.
You will not turn into a false prophet. And when I tell somebody they will die, they should die. Not yes. that I will tell them they will die, and then you will change your mind, and I will now look like a false prophet. He said, that's yes. why I did not want to obey you, because I know. So a lot of people don't know that aspect of God. They don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the redemption of God.
And they don't
in
like
trying
it.
To, yeah, in trying to help Jonah to now understand, Jonah now slept. God now made a tree to grow overnight to cover him. And then the next day, God made the tree to die. Son, beat up. He said, why are you complaining about a tree that grew one day and died the next day? And you want me to kill my own children that I created? So many of us are like Jonah. We don't understand the nature of God. So we expect God to kill somebody. And one thing you don't understand, every time you wish that somebody will die, they will not die. God, I remember when Buhari first became president and they say he was sick. And many pastors were saying, he will die. Oshimaji will take over. When the team became a dominant theory in the body, I knew that the guy will never die. Why? Because God cannot hand over his responsibility to us. You are not God to determine who will die and who will not die. And look at Buhari, the guy in our very eyes became stronger than when he came. They used our money, go repackage the guy. And the guy is still alive now. And many pastors have died with COVID. So this God, many of us, we don't know this God. And every day we keep knowing, the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More we keep knowing him. We never know and finish. When you think you know him, you realize you don't know him. Because, let me tell you a story. Yeah. I don't know if you have heard my Italy story. I stopped going to Italy in 2000. Year 2000, God told me to do a tour of Europe. Just like we are doing tour now. So all the Schengen, that's when they were starting all the Schengen thing. So I was to go to the 20-something Schengen countries. So I started going. So year 2000, I did six. 2001, I did six. I was doing six that for 5 years. I would tour the whole of Europe. Then doors opened in Italy. I was going to Italy, different city, Verona, everywhere, you know, and Torino, everywhere. And I opened office there. Then I started noticing something. That was when all this Edo State port prostitution, and all that's when the thing, you know, Cinque Cinque. I went to Italy. I went to preach in a church. That was the last time I said, I know they go again. Because even me, I didn't understand. I went to preach in this church. I preached fire and brimstone. I made altar call. The choir, when they were singing, if you see the glory of God in the choir, the anointing. And when I did altar call, almost 90% of choir members and people in the church came for altar call. So I told the pastor, I said, I didn't understand what I talk. That I said, if you are not born again, you are living in sin. You want God to set you free from sin. Come out. Over 80%, almost 90% of the choir, everybody. So the man said, don't worry, pray for them. I will explain later. By the time we finish, say, man of God, 90% of the people in the choir are prostitutes. I said, what? He said, they are born again. They are solution, but they are prostitutes. I said, I don't understand. How can a prostitute be in choir? He said, they were deceived from Nigeria to come to Italy, that they are coming to do a work. Their parents have collected millions and they entered into covenants. Some of them, they took the air from their armpits, the air from their privacy, and they used it to do covenant, do all kinds of things. They came because of poverty. I said, now they are here. I said, what? In my normal Nigerian style, I said, no, even the lawful captive shall be delivered. The prayer of the mighty. We set them free. We need to conduct deliver. The man said, oh, well, relax. I have done deliver. I've done everything that. They have a covenant with this thing. They are, until they finish paying. And he started telling me stories of people that decided to come out without paying, that they were having their privacy was decaying. They get vaginal cancer. I didn't have any scripture to explain how I can justify that 80% of the choir will be prostitutes. I mean, practicing prostitutes that were coming to church, serving God, and then they'll go and do their job and they will return. That's why I stopped going to Italy, because I couldn't understand. So there are dimensions of God that we don't know. And, you know, so the way people behave is as if they are the one that has the key to heaven or the key to hell or the one that knows what is a sin and what's not a sin. And if you read your Bible, they say, what is the greatest commandment? It's a love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love for God, love for people. That is the sum total of our work with God.
Okay, I'll ask one more question, then we'll look at the questions people have to ask. Teddy is still asking me a question. So Teddy, give me the scripture and the biblical haircut of a pastor. It's on Facebook. Teddy is still asking me about haircut. Teddy, give me the biblical haircut that a pastor, you must give me a scripture or constitution of Nigeria, not your own preference. It's not your personal preference or man of God's preference. You tell me now, what is the biblical scriptural haircut a pastor should have? You know, this, my own hair is Afro. Hope you know.
And my own, that's
you must show me. Pastor Lumde's on his skin. So you must know, is it, which is the biblical authorized licensed haircut that a pastor or a Christian should have? That when you can answer that, then we'll go further. So a pastor now, people that have been divorced, can they remarry? You know,
okay.
Because I need you to also balance that scripture where Jesus said, if you are remarrying someone that is divorced, one thing, they have,
No, there's nothing like that. You see, once you need to understand, marriage begins and ends here. There's no marriage in heaven. When you go to heaven, there's no Mr. and Mrs. So this marriage thing, where they talk now, here end though. It has nothing to do with when you get to the other side. You know, they came to ask him a question that one person married, he died, the brother married him. He died. The brother marry him. When they get to the other side, who will be the husband? He said, there is nothing like that on the other side. Anything marriage, he ends here. So once you are divorced, can you remarry? Yes, you can. That is why we say divorce is not a sin. Remarriage also is not a sin. But it is here I will now speak to people. Listen and listen well. I don't know the exact statistics, but over, I'm not sure, but second marriages fail more than first marriages. So a lot of people that think that when they marry, they think that maybe the grass is greener on the other side. It's not true. It's not true. So a lot of people that get into second marriages, there's no guarantee that it will work. And that's why you see people now get to third one, fourth one, fifth one, and then they make mockery of their life. So if you are leaving a marriage and you say you want to go and remarry, number one, be sure that you are healed, totally healed from the first marriage, and you have learned your lesson. What went wrong? Why did it fail? What lessons have you learned? So that the person you are going to now remarry will now not become a victim of your past. Like we'll say again, don't let your next suffer for the crime of your ex. You know, so be sure. So yes, there's nothing wrong in remarry, but even if you want to remarry, you have to know that once you have divorce is a lifetime scar. So I can tell you that for free. It's a lifetime scar. So because once, it's like somebody that had an accident and there is a scar on their body. Yeah, you'll be healed, you'll continue to live, but there will be a scar to remind you that you once had an accident. So divorce is a scar for life, especially when there are children involved. Do you understand now? Is a scar for life. And you are going to have to realize that even when you marry the next person, you have to still marry the person and face the reality of being with another person and having to, you know, it doesn't end. 5 years' time, 10 years. Now, we are talking of Kenneth Copeland now. Kenneth Copeland has been married to Gloria Copeland for like 60 years now. But we are still talking about the fact that he's the third wife after almost 80 years. The first wife he married was in 1955. They divorced in 1958, 3 years later. The same 1958, in less than 1 year, he remarried his second wife. That one too, they divorced in 1961, 3 years. Then 2 years later, he married Gloria Copeland in 1963. Their marriage now will be 60 years or so this year. But this is a man that has done great, but we are still talking about first wife, second wife. Because of that, Joyce Meyer, John Agee, that is the scar, is a lifetime scar. John Agee now, the first marriage was for 15 years. 1 year, he married in 1960, divorced in 1975. In 1976, he married his present wife. They are still married. But the Pikin from the first marriage is still there. So, and you see, so it becomes a blended family. So when you see people that have divorced and remarried where children are involved, or people that divorce, remarry, two from here, blended family, there are issues they are going through. There are things they are dealing with that you are not there to know. Do you understand now? And these are things that people don't understand. So those of us that have worked in it, we can tell you that this is a scar forever. So don't think you can just jump out. Let me go and remarry. Mm-mm. That's not what we are saying here. We are not encouraging that. But we are telling you it's not a sin. And if you have to remarry, remarry. But it doesn't mean that you should not begin to explore that and pursue that as an option. If you can work on your marriage, work on it as long as they are not detrimental issues that you can just forgive and move on. Because tolerance is very key. Forgiveness is very key in life, whether marriage or not. Because many of the things you are fighting your spouse for, your children will do worse. Will you divorce your children? So you see a lot of people that are divorcing their husband, divorcing their wife. Their children will do worse. You see women, their children are drug addicts. Their children are Yahoo boys. And they will go following the boy, my son, my son, my son. But the husband never do Yahoo. He never drink. Oh, they say they won't divorce the man. You see a lot of men, they will stand with their daughters. You cannot touch my daughter. I cannot do this. Whereas they are ready to leave their wife. So many times we should learn to extend grace. So yes, you can remarry. There's nothing wrong with remarry. But for you to remarry, number one, be healed. Number two, whosoever you are remarrying, be sure that they understand what they are coming into. If you are the one that is divorced and they want to marry, let them know that, look, these are the realities, so that they will not come in with unrealistic expectations and begin to, you know, become. Or, and if they are coming with children, you need to be sure that they are fully divorced so that you won't go and enter bigamy. Because some people, because of the cost of divorce, they don't have money to divorce. They will just say, I'm divorced. They are not. You have to see documents to see that they have divorced, they have gone through the marriage, they have gone through the court, the marriage is dissolved, and they have done a decree, nisi, and decree absolute. They've done through all that, and there is actually a certificate to say, okay, these people are free to remarry. Because if you go and marry somebody's wife or somebody's husband, you don't enter a second chance with that. So that is that. So people can remarry.
So what did Jesus mean when he said, if you go and marry somebody that is divorced, you are committing adultery?
Now, you see, I don't know where people get all this interpretation of what they are saying. Now, the same Jesus that was speaking, he has already told you that you can separate if somebody commits adultery. So if the same Jesus said you can separate if somebody commits adultery, is he now saying you should come out and be left alone? Do you understand? And even if the person commits adultery, is adultery an unpardonable sin? So, the person has committed adultery. So are we now saying that Kenneth Copeland has been in adultery for 60 years? Joyce May has been in adultery for 56 years? John Agee has been in adultery since 1976? Is that what we are saying? So please, let them go and read all those scriptures in different translations. And then they will understand, because you have to use scripture to interpret scripture. You can't pick one scripture out of context and then use that to form a doctrine. No, you can't.
Yeah, because my own studies of those scriptures, which I also did in my video, is that he was not referring to divorce as in properly divorced. There were two words that were being used intertwined there. One of them stands for separation and the other stands for proper divorce. So what he was actually saying was that if somebody is just merely separated, which separation means that they can return sometime, you know, they are not fully divorced, that you can't go marry someone that is just separated and is not fully divorced from their spouse, because legally, they are still married to their spouse. So that was what he was trying to emphasize. Not that a properly divorced person cannot remarry. All right. And the things about the thing of God that annoys people that are judgmental is that because they want to defend the things of God more than God himself. They feel, yes, that's their mindset. That's why they're judgmental. They seem to feel, why will God allow somebody that has dreads to be a senior pastor? God can defend himself. Don't worry. If the person is not worthy of that position, it's not you that will help God to remove him. You are not the police.
Yeah.
You by pointing fingers and putting your mouth in what doesn't concern you, you are also committing a worse sin.
Yeah.
Assuming that hairstyle is a sin. Even you two, you are still committing sin.
Yeah.
So step aside and go and face the speck, like Pastor said at the beginning. Go and deal with the log, rather, in your own eyes and leave another person. So some people are trying to defend God more than God. So they think that no. If you know, if this person is, but you guys are about to go to bed. Sorry, Bishop, let me hug my kids. I want to go to bed. Love you.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bless you. Love you. All right. You know, so they think, if this person is divorced, he can never remarry. No. God did not. That's not what God means. Or if the person, if we teach like this, people will just be divorcing their spouses. You know, it's like breaking your leg. Imagine if God saying, if you break your leg, it can never be healed. God doesn't say that. God says, if you break your leg, look, it can be healed. So for somebody to now say, since broken leg can be healed, let me be breaking my leg.
Yeah.
Yes, some people will take advantage. It's like even the forgiveness of God. If we commit sin, God forgives us. There are people that take advantage of that and feel, I'll do something, I'll repent later.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to take advantage of the fact that God is merciful. But God will say, because of that now, I will not forgive sin anymore. Yeah. No, it's not going to do that. It's not going to do that. So that's what's confusing people. So they're trying to defend the faith more than the owner of the faith and say, no, let's not allow anybody. If anybody make a mistake, let them never have a chance to correct it. But I ask people, is there any other situation in scripture that you have seen that God did not give people another chance? Have you seen anything like that? Where people have made a mistake and God say, you must perpetually live with this mistake. There's no such thing. Because that's not, like you said, the nature. Like you mentioned, the nature. Yes. You will never see in any situation where if somebody has done abortion and God doesn't say forever, you will never have children again. You won't see God do that. Except if there's consequence medically that you made a mistake. But if it's that, in terms of from his own end, people that have done abortion sometimes have had many kids. And people that are married as virgins sometimes have married for years and not had kids. Yeah. It has nothing to do with God. It's just natural stuff playing out. So it's not God saying, if I ever made a mistake, can never correct it. If you have never lost your job, maybe you worked in a company and you didn't do well. Maybe you stole their money or you didn't work efficiently and they sack you. You see God say you will never get another job again. No. No, there's no other area where you see that nature of, I'll punish you forever for one mistake that you made. You will not see it anywhere. But this, our religious people want to insist that it's only when it comes to marriage, when you make a mistake, there's no opportunity to bounce back, you know? And yes, I understand that people might want to take negative advantage of this. I get that. But at the same time, I will not put everybody in bondage just because of that. It will be unfair. Because like you mentioned, these same people saying this thing, if somebody removes their daughter's eyes, they're the ones that will hide their daughter from that place. So, they won't say no, stay there.
Yeah.
They won't say no, stay in that place. Marriage is by force. No. No. It doesn't work like that. All right? There are many, many dangerous situations that will require for you to come out of that relationship. It doesn't mean at the slightest quarrel. It doesn't mean at the slightest disagreement, both of you say you're not marrying again. It doesn't follow. But there are definitely many cases where, you know, a divorce is the way out. And like you mentioned, I don't think there's any pastor that is seasoned and that is making a large impact on reaching a lot of people that have not at one point participated, authorized, or overseen a divorce. I don't think so. Except he's not. If he's pastoring 10 people or 20 people, if he's pastoring thousands of people, I'm very sure there will be cases where they have seen and they too know that there is no other way around this case. Imagine the case you mentioned where somebody did D&C, surgery on another person, and that woman says, yes, and the woman says she's not doing it again. And you now, as a pastor, tell her to go and sleep. And you know, the thing about this religious people, pastor, is that when they kill that woman, when they kill that woman in that house, they're the ones that come back and say, these pastors, you people knew that they were beating Osinachi or they were beating so-and-so. Yeah. You didn't tell her to leave. These are the same people that will come back and say these things.
Yeah.
All right? So, yeah, go ahead. You were trying to say something.
I said, look at what Jesus did with the woman at the well. The woman at the well had been with five men.
Husbands.
Five husbands, and the one that was the sixth one is able to one that, and then Jesus now became the seventh man, the perfect man to perfect the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the woman became an evangelist, went to win the whole city for God. And Jesus did not say, you are not qualified to preach, you have seven husbands. No, you are not qualified. I promise you. The woman went to preach and brought the whole village, and they had
I didn't even tell her to go and divorce.
So
he didn't tell her to go and divorce.
And you know, so really, People want to tie you to your past, but God wants to connect you to your future.
Okay, God, Bishop, I have a few questions. We can't take... Okay, go ahead. What is something?
God is not looking at where you are or where you have been, but he's looking at what he can make out of you. So we should stop tying people to their past.
Yes, yes. Again, we want to repeat and reiterate over and over again. Both of us are serious marriage coaches and marriage counselors. We teach clearly that marriage is a covenant, except you are just knowing me, so then you might not understand. But if you have listened to me over the years, I don't know who preaches marriage as much as I do in this country right now. I don't know if there's any other person. And I've traveled and trekked around this country and this world to teach the fact that marriage is clearly a covenant. It's not something you jump in and jump out of. So we understand that. And Jesus himself, when they asked him, should somebody divorce, that's the first thing he said. He said, when you enter marriage, the covenant from the beginning was not so. God doesn't want you to divorce. However, he still addressed their concern. So there are still cases where we might not have a choice than to free whoever is bound and let them be free to do, to remarry or whatever they are free to do. All right. So let me, Bishop, I'll take a few questions. We can't take all of them. There are so many.
Okay.
But I'll take a few that look interesting. So this one says, please, can you address a marriage out of deception that the person married you to get documents and wasn't committed?
That one, you get as you know. Well, what we will generally say will be that any contracts, covenants, agreements, alliance entered into based on false information and pretense is not tenable. That is what we will generally say. But you are already married. And instead of just using that wrong, you know, because two wrongs does not make a right. So the fact that there was deception to enter does not mean that there cannot be redemption after the fact. So I will always tell people to explore. It's painful, it's hurting to explore the option of redemption after the fact if the other party is willing to now put in the work. But if the other party is now not committed, it's like they have come to defraud you, well, you move on with your life. You have done. But don't just make that the first option. Try and see if there is a way we can salvage things, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
Let's work towards redemption and salvaging first.
Yeah.
Before, because the person may have done something wrong. It doesn't make the person wrong. There are many things we have done in our life that we were in a bad place. We're immature. We lack understanding. And if God has judged us with that one action, all the other good we have done in our life will never have become a reality. So sometimes the person may be under pressure and he thought the only way to settle is to go and marry and use you to get documents. But there is still diamond in that rough if you are really willing to dig and both of you are willing to forgive and work on it. Something good can come out of it. But if the person is now not committed, they have used you to want to go, then move on with your life.
Yes, yeah, both of you have made the mistakes. Maybe you two didn't do your homework well, because a lot of times when I've seen these cases, sometimes too, the women are very excited. They don't do their due diligence. They don't do proper counseling. They don't do things like that. They're too rushing, you know. And after the fact, they now find out that this guy was deceiving me. So, like you said, see whether they can be worked on. But if the guy is clearly not committed, clearly showing signs that he wants out or is just messing you up and wasting your time, in that kind of case, you might consider, you know, to move on. However, do counseling, go through separation properly. There's controlled separation and all those steps. There are stages to it. Don't just jump from zero to divorce. You know, that's not the right way. All right. Bishop, there's this question here. It says, a man that cheats on his wife and marries the woman he cheated with, does it mean he didn't sin?
What does it mean that he didn't? That's a clear. What does it mean he didn't sin? In what way? Cheating on his wife was a sin.
Yes.
Then he now goes ahead to marry the person that he was cheating with. That does not now mean that the second marriage, they will judge them forever, like we have been saying. He has done something wrong. Cheating on his wife was wrong. Going ahead to now marry the person he was cheating with, that means he has betrayed his wife. He has abandoned his wife. It is wrong. But now he's married. God will not now judge him and kill him and kill the two of them in order to God is on our side. No, God will not they have done something wrong, but they are married now. So be healed and move on with your life, and don't allow bitterness, or else they'll be enjoying themselves and you'll be living in the prison of bitterness. So just, it's unfortunate that it has happened to you, but move on with your life. Leave the judgment and whatever to the hand of God. Not you. You are not the headmistress or headmaster to determine who is the child that needs to stand up and go and face the world.
Yeah. You know, in that kind of case, yes, we will tell the man he has done wrong and all that. But like Pastor said, you know, so what's going to happen? You know, if we can't go and tie him rope and drag him from the house if he doesn't want to come. We'll tell him outrightly, you know, that cheating your wife is sin. Going ahead to marry the woman you cheated with is more sin. And interestingly, we've seen cases like this.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I've said that, except the person is pastoring 10 people. Anybody pastoring thousands of people over years, trust me, there's literally no kind of case we have not seen. You know, so yes, I've seen cases like this. You will just counsel them. You still can't force the man to by force. You will tell him this is wrong, this doesn't make sense, it's against God's word and everything. But if he continues there, I'm not in a position to send him to hell. That's not my position. Him and God will still settle the case. And if I know anything about God, he's going to work with the guy, you know, as much as he can. So that's how it's going to happen. God is not going to, you know, that's why you notice that God doesn't just kill all our enemies. You too were once somebody's enemies. If God was killing like that, you too would have been dead.
Yeah.
You would have been dead, all right? So this is not to condone sin. Don't get us wrong. But we're saying, look, it's not us that we police human beings. We will teach what the word says. We'll teach what the standards of God are. But the people will have to still choose to do it. This person is asking, what about the marriage that was never consummated? Let's say a marriage for papers. Is that a valid marriage? So this person is asking now that maybe somebody wants to marry her, but this person has done an arranged marriage with someone. So how does it play out for her?
Okay, now here we have two things, the legal aspect and then the moral aspect. So legally, if you did arranged marriage with someone, you have to divorce them also before you can remarry, because you cannot marry two people. So if you did arranged marriage, there was no consummation. That means there was no sex. Even in the law of Nigeria, any relationship without sex is not consummated. They can't divorce. It will be dissolved. It is called dissolution of marriage, not divorce. So you can go to court to say, I've married this person. You know, I've been together for 6 months, 1 year. The marriage has not been consummated. I want to dissolve. They will dissolve it. There's a law like that for Nigeria. It's called dissolution. So any marriage that is not consummated will be dissolved. So if you have done arranged with someone because of money, because of whatever, then you divorce. That's legally divorcing to clear yourself from the arranged. If you now want to marry somebody, yes, you can marry, but the arranged will still be a stigma on your record, because you will now be marrying the person now as a divorcee. The other person now, you have done arranged, you have divorced from the arranged, you are now married. So even though that one was not consummated, but you will still be considered like this is a second marriage. So there will still be a stigma, because even in your filling of forms and a lot of things, you will still have to be filling a lot of things that will be reflecting to the past. So that is why we should just try as much as possible to make sure that everything we do, we do the will of God, we follow the plan of God, so that we will not get into all these complications. It's not worth it. It's too cumbersome many times to complicated life. We should avoid complications and all these situationships.
Yeah. So generally, it's the wrong thing to do for him to have gone to marry. But if he wants to pull out of all that, I'll be more concerned with his character. This person now, is he really marrying you for love, or this is another, you know, business to him? So I'll be bothered about how he sees marriage and things like that, you know. So this one says, how about emotional abandonment? What would be your advice in that case?
I don't know what you mean by emotional abandonment. Does it lead to sexual abandonment? Because sometimes all this mental health excuse is when they bring all this emotional abandonment. He doesn't buy me clothes. He doesn't take me to the movie. He's not concerned about my feelings. He doesn't take me in all those mental health issues. So as far as I'm concerned, what do you mean by emotional abandonment? You need to define that emotional abandonment, because those are the languages of excuses. Because emotional abandonment, and you are still having sex. Emotional abandonment is still paying the bills. It's paying school fees. It's paying rent. Emotional abandonment, when you need money, is giving you. Yet you are looking for emotional abandonment. So really, I don't know what your definition of emotional abandonment is. That will help me to get clarity on how to go further on that.
But what if it's not, if it's not paying rent, is not having sex?
I always say to people, when two of you have married, husband and wife, you see, in this part of the world, they say the man should carry all the load. It's the responsibility of the man. Until they go to America and go to London and go to Canada and discover that only one person cannot carry the load. Even millionaires, they drive themselves abroad. They don't have driver, they don't have cook, they don't have this one, they don't have house guest, except you are in the top 1% of the top 1%. So now, if you are married, yes, the man should be responsible, take care of things, rent and all those stuff. But now, if he does not have, not because he's irresponsible, but he's going through a patch that cannot allow him to do that, and you have the money, why not do it? What is wrong in you doing it? Whether it is your money or his money, at least thank God that somebody is making money in the family to cover our shit.
This one is not that, it's not that he's not making money, he's just not involved.
He's just making an irresponsible money.
Man.
Mm-hmm. He's an irresponsible man. You see, those are the things that you have to look for different interventions to get him to see why what he's doing is wrong. That's not just enough to say, hey, he doesn't pay rent, I take care of everything, I'm leaving him. Those are not, they are not too enough for you to say you want to abandon a marriage, because the next one you are going to, you know what will be there. So sometimes we need to seek counsel and go through a process where we get professionals or matured believers to help look into the situation, because people don't go for counseling. They just go to social media, they listen to somebody's story, they watch Nollywood, and they use it to decide in their marriage. Go to professionals that are trained. Because sometimes these guys and these ladies that are doing this thing, when you sit down with them, you discover that they are also a victim of their upbringing, of their background, of things. Yeah. So by the time we take them through therapy to help them understand why they are behaving the way they are behaving, you see a lot of people that are just insecure. Why are they insecure? It's a background issue. You see a lot of people that they are irresponsible. They believe that, oh, you don't spend money on a woman. You don't tell the woman everything you have when she knows. You know, they have all this software, all this programming that is running their life. When you bring them for therapy and we take them through the process professionally, we help them to see the triggers. We help them to see the software. We help them to see the program and then help them to rewrite another program in their mind that we change things. We have seen a lot of marriages that they thought nothing good will come out of it become good because they submitted to therapy and professional counseling. So I think we should seek, because now you are just asking questions on an Instagram. You can't go and make decision based on an answer from an Instagram post, because you see two men of God talking now. You can't go use what you talk now, go make decision. Go and seek counsel and let us know the nitty-gritty, because there are many dimensions that you cannot mention here. We will not look at everything holistically, because there are times when a man will come tell you the story of how bad the wife is. When the woman will come, by the time she talk her own, you will see that
it's not
a different part that you were not told. So you don't make decision based on one-sided information. We need everybody on ground so that we can look at everything holistically.
Somebody says, what are the implications of divorce when the man remarries?
There are many implications that we may not be able to explore fully, but if there are children in the former marriage and you now remarry and there are children in the new marriage, you will need to be explaining to the new children how the old children came about. You will need to be explaining to the old children how to relate with the old, new, how to relate with the old, how to relate with the new. That's even if you have a relationship with either of them.
I'm not sure this person is asking about those kind of things. I mean, maybe they are talking about, is there implication from God's end?
No, there's no implication. But no, that's what we are saying now. God is not into all that. There's no implication from God's end. You are married, move on with your life. Just make sure that once you marry, you follow the tenets of God for that marriage. And then you move on. The past is in the past.
Okay. Let me take two more. My battery itself is almost finished. Let me take two more. Somebody said, can a divorcee be a worker in church? And this one says, can you talk more about a man that have more than one wife? Can a divorcee be a worker in church?
Oh, why not? We just need to know the situation and circumstance and know what are the implications of, you know. So we need to take each case on its own. Because most of the time, Shemina, wait till you know, now you go to talk. There are many people in your church that are divorced and remarried, and they came to your church because they left Ibadan and came to Lagos. And you don't even know their story. I have a friend, one of my friends, where we graduated together. And then she came to see me in church one day. She was just calling me, my brother, I want to see you. Of course, she's my classmate. So I said, come and see me. She now told me how that her husband, who was also, they were engaged when we were on campus, that the husband has left her about 8 years ago, just abandoned her and the children, and has remarried another woman, and they are in one of the major churches here in Lagos, my friend's church. That's so, and it's a minister there. That me, I should tell my friend to drive them away from the church. I say, you don't even understand how a beggar church works. I say, so, so many times, there are people in your church that you're not aware of who they are. They may have divorced in Port Harcourt, remarried, come to Lagos. You may have a wife in a village, come to Lagos, remarry somebody else. So we cannot be judging all those things. We deal with people based on what we know. And the day we know how to deal with it. So we cannot just use one blanket and one paint to brush everybody.
Yeah, but if you have somebody in your church that has two wives, somebody said, ask that one, that has two wives, what are you going to how are you going to do it?
Now, you see, this two wives thing, let us understand something. If any man be in Christ is a new creature, all things are passing, all things have become new. And these things have caused a lot of issues. So someone is like somebody is an unbeliever. He has tattoo all over his body. Now he's born again. The tattoo will be there. He's born again, but the tattoo will be there. So if somebody is married to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wives, and he now gets born again, he's already married to 5 wives. He's a born again with 5 wives. He's the one that is born again, not the wives. But now, we'll now go into which one is the correct wife. So if you say the first wife is the real wife, what if the first wife was married when he was poor, they just cohabit. Then the second wife, he carried that one, go church. Then the third wife, he carried that one, go court. So, we are just, for me, such people, I personally will do everything I can to avoid bringing them into leadership. But it doesn't mean that. So for such people, I don't think that we should allow them into leadership, ministry, and open leadership or open ministry. So they can be involved in other, you know, ministries that are not, you know, overt in people's face. But, you know, husband or one wife. So you cannot now begin to say they are ordained
as a pastor. But what if he did it when he was a believer? He was a believer, he's married to one wife. He now goes to marry another one.
I know that one. I don't know. For me, that one, if he goes to marry another wife, according to the tenets of church, he has decided how far he wants to go in the leadership of a ministry. He has chosen that by that action, he can be a Christian between him and his God, but he's not going to be able to ascend leadership position in a church. Because you know that the church is both an organism and an organization.
He might not want leadership now. The temple that wants leadership might not be interested.
Believing is like, that's not my, it's not my business to enter into his private life now. My own is to preach the truth of the word of God and to love them and hope that God will meet with them in their private life and lead them on what to do. There is a major pastor here in Lagos, major beggar man of God. If I tell you, all of Nago shock. Wait till we enter for this second wife matter. This guy believed strongly that he should marry a second wife. 1993, 94, 95, the guy was on this thing. He was ready to marry second wife. Abraham had second wife. Abraham, Kinnikon, he was on it. He took deliverance for us to get this man to understand that you are a man of God. What is all this thing? So, and the man is still around now preaching. I say, if you would know this man's story. So, but that is life.
So in that case, when you confront the guy, in that kind of case, the church member is married, you know his wife, you know his children, and he goes to marry another person.
Oh, yeah. For me, personally, I've seen that, and I will confront. In fact, there was a guy, when we started out then, he used to produce custard, all this liquid powder custard. He was the first set of people that used to produce it in the 90s. And he was married, he was in church. And then, one day, he came to tell me that he's getting married to another woman, or that he wants to marry a second wife. And I told him that I don't support that. It's not acceptable. That why we want the second wife. He said that his wife is not looking good. He needs a younger girl. They have had four children. He needs a younger girl. You know, he was talking rubbish. I said, well, sorry, my brother, that we cannot accept that. And he said, well, he has made up. I said, well, no problem. It's your life, but just know that me, I'm not in support. And in this church, we don't support something like that. And he went ahead. He got married to the woman. And all of them were coming to church. But it was not comfortable because we had a good relationship. But immediately after that, because I was not in support, I didn't do anything. After, when he came back, I just started relating like normal, but he was not comfortable. Okay, our pastor used to be my paddy. I used to go to pastor's office. I could call pastor, but now, you know, and by himself, he just left. And when I called him, I said, I will not see you again. He said, pastor, I had to leave that because, you know, I know that what you didn't support what I'm doing, and I didn't just want to keep coming. I was no more comfortable, and I left him. So I will confront such person.
But did you talk to the wife? Did you talk to the first wife?
Oh, the first wife was not coming when he married. The first wife was no more coming because the first wife was feeling that, how will I come to church? My husband is with another woman. Where will I sit? Because in our church, we encourage couples to sit together, except they are in ministry, give maybe somebody is in children's church or cabaret. Yeah. As long as you are both, we encourage couples, we are a family church, sit together. So it was that sitting arrangement was what made her to feel that the man wants to be sitting with the new wife because they sat at home and the man told her that it's the one new one I'll be sitting with her. So was she
okay with this, his plan of going to marry a second wife?
Was not okay, but she couldn't stop it because she was not economically empowered. Mm. It was the wife, he was the wife he married when he was poor. Now he's a CEO, he has a factory, he's producing custard. He's like all these politicians now. They needed the first lady for political position. I need to go. Let me check my phone. I think I should check on him. It's been a while. It's been like 18 years now.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah. We'll check on him.
Wow. Thank you, Bishop. Before we let you go, let me still announce for those that are watching. Please, if you're out there in the UK, we're going to be in the UK this October. London, Birmingham, Manchester, Scotland, and Ireland. We're on tour. We're going to be having our marriage conferences in these cities. And if you're in the United States, California area, we're going to be in LA. November 11th also. If you are interested in family life coaching, relationship counseling, things like that, or you're already involved in it, we have a family life practitioners conference this October also. So in Lagos, Abuja, and London. So different coaches, experienced coaches and trainers and counselors will be in the house to facilitate, to teach. If you're a church counselor or you are here, a pastor, you can send your church counselors so that they can be trained and equipped on how to counsel and coach people relationship wise. All right. If you're in Abuja, we're coming to Abuja for our conference in October also. If you're in Lagos, we're having to get after for married folks. So there are lots of things going on. You will see details on my page. Please take advantage of it. I'll post this video and I am Pastor Sunday. We'll still do a proper YouTube video where we would look at scriptures word for word, step by step, so that today was just more of a gist on this divorce issue. So again, to also recap, we will never support divorce in any shape or form, just like Jesus did. However, people need to realize that in the first place, divorce was started to protect the person being abused. It's not to encourage the abuser. So, and Pastor mentioned the case where a doctor did D and C, did abortion on his wife without her consent in the house. In that kind of case, you know, that woman needs to be protected. So that was how abortion was started. I mean, divorce was started. It wasn't started because God was saying, you guys, we're tired of your wife, get a new one. No, it was because these men were marrying. After a while, they're interested in that woman. They keep that first wife. They are not attending to her, not taking care of her, not feeding her, not sleeping with her, but they go and look for another wife. So God said, you know what? If you're not interested in this woman, free her so that she can do something with her life. Don't keep her here and be maltreating her. So that's how divorce started. It wasn't out of, go and cruise, go and get as many women as you want. So that's not the concept, or as many men as you want. That's never the concept. So you must always understand what God is doing. If you don't understand that, you'll be pursuing God's law more than him. He knows the impact of divorce. Every divorced person knows the impact of divorce. You know, God hates divorce. We hate divorce. Every divorcee hates divorce. I can guarantee you that. But it doesn't mean divorce is a sin. It doesn't mean if you commit divorce, there's no redemptive path for you. And like we said, if you check all the nature of God, every time people messed up, God's reaction to it was to restore. There's no other situation where God has said, if you have done abortion once, it means you will never have children. I've never seen that before. And imagine God said, if you lose your job once, you will never have another job. No, everything, God gives people another chance. So I believe the same thing applies in the area of marriage. But there are people that will take a negative advantage of this. We can't stop that. Whether or not we preach about it, they will still go and marry or divorce for the fun of it. So that's it. So we'll do a YouTube video properly. We'll post this and we'll also shoot a proper YouTube video. And it will be a blessing. Thank you, Bishop. This was good. This was very good. Thank you so much.
I'll look at it and see if we can make Friday morning work.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Greet my sister for me.
I will. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Hey, thank you, guys. This was heavy. This was heavy stuff. We'll still do a YouTube video and still be able to do a proper exegesis of scripture along the line. But it's an interesting topic. Nobody wants to divorce. All divorcees do hate divorce. However, it's a reality of life. People will mess up things. People will make mistakes. That's the truth. People will do that. And so no matter what we do, no matter how much you preach fire and brimstone, people that want to do bad things will do bad things. But we need to understand that God always is open to helping people restore. The woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus didn't tell her, come and caught in adultery, it's cruise. No, he told her, go and sin no more. But he told her, you're free. I'm not going to kill you. Neither do I condemn. So let's always understand. So this doesn't mean go and jump out of your marriage, no. But a lot of divorced people, some of them genuinely, made a wrong turn, a wrong mistake, and God has given them another chance. It's not up to me and you to hold them bound. Even if the judgmental people here say, no, they must not marry, that is not, it's not your place, you're not God. So, you go and sit down and face your own life, All right. So people are asking for the tour tickets. You will go to my page, you'll see the link in my bio. I have to quickly save this video before my battery goes off. So please go to my link in bio. You'll see how to get your tickets there, all right, for all the events that we mentioned. All right. Thank you, everybody. See you guys.